T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, it's Wednesday, and it's 40 minutes prior, but Wednesday does mean Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the KU Jayhawks, as Kansas most recently victorious over Texas Longhorns by 2 in the Fog. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, fellas. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
Doing great. Hey, I heard on Hawk Talk last night that Bill Self mentioned that it's just not in the Jayhawks' DNA to let the fans go home early. They got to keep them there all 40 minutes when they're at the Fog, keep them engaged, maybe a few extra concessions, mostly tongue-in-cheek, but they just can't seem to blow anybody out when they got their foot on their throat, but they keep winning. How would you assess the victory over Texas the other night?
Yeah, that's kind of like that joke about the bad golfer that, you know, he's taken 106 swings, whereas the good golfer's only taken 72 swings. He's getting more bang for his buck with his swinging fee, right? Because he's getting to take all these extra swings. We're giving you the full 40 minutes of your ticket value. You don't get to skip out early because we're going to take it down to the wire. Now, he was joking, obviously, but the point is a good one when it comes to the competitive balance of our league and then the fact that Kansas just doesn't have the same separation ability that previous Kansas teams have had. And I think it's twofold. One, you don't have the three-point firepower that we've had these last couple of seasons. The KU eclipsed the school record for threes made in a season in back-to-back years. So a two-possession game can't become a blowout with, you know, back-to-back-to-back, bang-bang-bang type shots, you know, like we saw Devontae and Sri and Malik do from time to time a year ago. Now, we did see some of that versus Texas when KU shot it much better. Marcus Garrett, most to credit there in terms of a guy coming out of the woodwork. But you don't have that same firepower. You also don't have the 120 dunks that you could count on from Udoka Azubuike last year. Think about how easy it was to get finishes there. So this Kansas team has to score with more two-pointers on drives to the basket in a half-court set where you're weaving around the top looking for an angle to drive and then taking off and driving. Or, you know, getting Dedrick Lawson to do something in the mid-range game or himself backing it down along the baseline, up and under type moves. It's just not the same way of going about getting your points as it's been in the past. And this particular way, while certainly a winning fashion, isn't as conducive to just piling up the points real quick, real easy. And consequently, you're not going to see them get these 15, 20-point leads very often. And you're not going to see them, you know, put the hammer down as quickly as they may have been able to in previous years. He also talked about how scoring in transition with this team hasn't been as good. I think it can be very good because Devon Dotson is such a jet in the open floor when he takes off and running. But they're still learning how to capitalize on those transition opportunities more and finish better in transition with more than just Devon. And until they do that, for all the reasons I just mentioned, it's going to look a little bit different, and consequently, you're not going to have the big blowout games. And, yeah, it makes for some dicey moments late and some nervous fans and announcers, for that matter. If you were at all in the stands, you saw me and David Lawrence kind of hugging each other like, oh, my gosh, thank goodness we won this. Yep. After that final shot by Severus crawled off. David, by the way, sits next to the basketball crew. I think it's going to be one of those seasons, guys. And you know what? We've got the best close game coach in Kansas basketball history at Bill Self. We've got a guy that knows how to get stops, knows how to drop, you know, high percentage buckets in a one possession type scenario late. And so while it may not be what you're used to, and we're going to see a lot less of Chris Tehan and Garrett Lewinstra than fans of walk-ons might like to see, at least we still like our chances in these close games.
Well, look, fans may be growing older before their time watching this team, and anxiety, high anxiety might be the catchphrase for the fan base. The seasoning of this basketball team is the most important thing, And all they do is get a little bit more mature, a little bit more battle-tested. There's value in winning close basketball games that should pay off down the line. Hell, it's paying off right now.
Oh, absolutely. Because they're all going to be close. You know, when you get to late February and you got a road trip to Lubbock, Texas that might have the conference title on the line like it was a year ago, when you get into the Big 12 tournament, the NCAA tournament, you want to be able to say you won some close games. And Kansas, you know, right now you can probably circle six games on the schedule, Bruce, where they didn't close out well, but in four of those six, they found ways to win. Mm-hmm. The hope is that you can not only win close games, but you can close them out without the drama that we saw these last two games in Waco and then on Monday versus Texas. But the fact that they still found a way to get that last stop, found a way to hit those two free throws or whatever, talking about Monday, shows that they are improving. And I do think that what happened in Waco with the 17-4 Bears run in the last 2:58 was, you know, a little bit of smoke and mirrors. Clearly there were things Kansas did to leave the door open with missed free throws and two big turnovers and all that. But you're going to learn how to finish better. But the fact that they haven't lost more than they've won from a young team that's still feeling its way out in these close game scenarios, I think it is a credit to the coach and a sign that they are figuring it out. But your point's a great one. They're all going to be close for the most part going forward, especially when your season's on the line in close games here in about 2 months. So having played as many as they have and having won as many as they have, I think it's a good sign for Kansas. Hopefully we'll feel even more solid about that by the time March rolls around.
KU at West Virginia coming up Saturday. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a minute. A game you can hear right here on KFH. Speaking of Texas Tech, they take on Iowa State tonight down in Lubbock. Texas Tech still unbeaten in the Big 12. Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the KU Jayhawks, joining us as he does every Wednesday. Ochai Agbaji, small sample size, but give us a thumbnail sketch of what he's been like so far.
Well, he's been terrific. You know, he's one of these guys, when I first met him, last February after he committed and right after he signed in the spring, I was so impressed. Just so well-spoken, so grateful to have the opportunity. Comes from a terrific family. Both his parents played college ball, and his sister's an outside hitter on the Texas volleyball team. And you can just tell he's going to be a really fun kid to have on the program because he's just so appreciative of the opportunity. Never did I expect then, though, that we'd be talking about such a difference maker on the floor immediately. I mean, at the time that he committed to KU, most ranking services had him in the 300s. And we told you the quote from Bill Self back in October when he said, hey, 300s may have been where they had him, but this kid's going to finish in the top 40 in his class when it's all said and done. Top 40 is, you know, borderline McDonald's All-American caliber player, you know. And so that was a real eyebrow-raising comment when Self made it. But even then, we all thought, okay, well, he may be right, but we're not going to see him for another year. And he's talking about where's he at as a 23-year-old in 5 years. Fast forward a couple of months, and we're seeing him now. And now I see why, you know, Coach Self felt the way he felt. He's not only proven to be the best athlete on the team and has the best vertical leap, but he has really shown some poise and maturity for a guy that has all of three games under his belt now. He's the guy that Bill Self has turned to in late-game situations in the last 4 minutes, each of these three games, and in many cases, it's directly ahead of Quentin Grimes. What's that tell you? And it's really encouraging, I think, that there's such a trust factor already from the head coach to your most inexperienced player on the team. And part of that is he's in the right place at the right time, great listener, he's a great student of the game, he's picked up on so much so fast. And people think that it's just, you know, starting when he got the redshirt pulled. No, he's been picking up on stuff since day one in the summertime, and that's what led to them having such confidence that if we do pull the redshirt, it's not going to be a wasted thing. We're absolutely going to use him, and we're absolutely going to, you know, see a lot of fruits of his labors pay off. So I think for Ochai, you know, it's the fact that he's had such confidence on both ends of the floor has not looked like a deer in headlights where the stage is too big and the lights are too bright. I mean, he hits his first three shots of his debut game. Two were dunks, but one was a three. Makes two big steals on the other end of the floor. This versus TCU a week ago. And just really impresses the heck out of me in that he looked like a guy that had 50 games under his belt. And here he was on night number one. So beyond that, real cool story. I'll share with you real fast in case you didn't hear this or see it on Twitter. But his dad was in Nigeria the night of his career debut. And it's 3 a.m. in Nigeria when it's 7 o'clock back here. There's no ESPN for him to watch at 3 a.m. in Nigeria. So he pulls up the KU Athletics app, and you can always listen anytime for free around the world to our Jayhawk Network. And obviously, I'm proud affiliates like this one at KFH. And there he is in Nigeria, holding his iPhone like it's a baby. Just, you know, this is his only link to being back home, listening so proudly while he smiles from ear to ear with Allen Fieldhouse rocking because his son's tearing it up, exceeding every expectation in his opener.
Well, it's a great story. There's no question about it. All right, let me get back to the meat and potatoes. Dedrick Lawson and the freight that he continues to carry. How wide are this guy's shoulders? Because even though there's a lot in the supporting cast that's still percolating, this guy continues to be the focus. He's going to score a lot of points. He's shooting at a high percentage. He can get to the basket. He lays it off on occasion very nicely. He's got good vision on the floor, and he goes to the glass and gets it. How well suited is this young man continuing forward to take on potentially more and more of the responsibility, do you think, Brian?
Well, I think, as Coach Self pointed out last night, he's taken on about everything he can take on.
Yeah.
And yet, to answer your question, could he take on even more, maybe in terms of being the vocal leader? Yeah, he could do that. In terms of scoring it or rebounding it, there's not a whole lot more you could ask for. Defensively, he could bring it more. But as Coach Self pointed out, you know, he's being asked to play 36 minutes a game and defend without fouling because it's such a huge drop-off offensively with what you have behind him from a big man position. And so, yeah, there's more he could give you in terms of the defensive efficiency and a defensive presence, but it kind of goes against what they need him to do conservatively to stay on the floor because he's having to do so much. As Self would say, he's your best passer, best rebounder, most high percentage shooter. For a while, he was your best free throw shooter. He's getting to the line the most of anybody. And so I think the best answer to your question, Bruce, you need Silvio to get some good news, because if you have a Silvio, behind him, then he can play a little more freely defensively and take a couple of more chances, because it's not like, uh-oh, foul trouble, now we got to get our inside buckets from Mitch or David, which obviously is a fraction of what you have in Dedrick. So I think that while we're all waiting on good news there for a lot of reasons, that would be a big one. It might allow an even more active Dedrick, but even if he is more active defensively, he's never going to be known for his defensive prowess. He just doesn't have the springy legs or the type of shot-blocking presence that other great bigs have had in the recent Bill Self era, like Cole Aldrich or Jeff Withey, when it comes to rim protection. He's never going to be that guy. But he could certainly give you more than what you've seen and more of a defensive presence. He's just not on a roster right now that allows him to do that. And as Coach Self pointed out last night, the way they play defense with a lot of switching and stuff, there's more he can do to help others if he has to slide in and help on defense. But when he's got four guards on the floor, there's not much at all they can do to help him. And so he's really at a disadvantage in terms of being the optimal defensive player that you'd like your one big guy on the floor to be. But beyond that, Bruce, as you astutely pointed out, he's done about everything you could ask him to do. He's a terrific kid, too, on top of it. So humble and so unassuming. And yeah. I think we're so fortunate to be seeing what we're seeing right now, because he's got a chance. You don't think of it in these terms, but, I mean, if he's a first-team All-American, his name will go up in the rafters. And he's got a chance to break double-doubles records and do all kinds of things at Kansas. And obviously, how we'll remember him the most is how deep he takes this team in March. But he's been phenomenal, and it may not look that dynamic because it's not high-flying above the rim all the time. But man, is he consistent, and man, is he efficient. And we have certainly had everything we hoped for and more out of Dedrick to this point.
KU basketball at West Virginia on air at 11:30, Saturday morning tip-off at 1. West Virginia 0-5. I know you got some other duties, Brian, so we'll let you go after this one. But West Virginia at 0-5 has got to scare the daylights out of you. I know they've been struggling, but Morgantown's still Morgantown, isn't it?
It is. you know, and if you saw Texas Tech's locker room celebration when they won up there for the first time ever after, you know, seven tries of going empty, it's a big deal when you win there. And for Kansas, they lost their four straight years. And it's tough, man. And obviously the Sagavacanate out, they've not been the same team. And it's been kind of a weird situation on his injury, and nobody really knows completely what's going on. Coach Huggins back in December said, when asked who's going to be back on the floor, he said, ask his brother. He's the one making those decisions. And that was kind of a contentious comment when he said it, and it raised some eyebrows. And then he slipped on January the 6th and alluded to him, you know, he said something along the lines of, well, you don't expect to be without Kanate for the year. And he wasn't officially saying he's done for the year, but it was something he just kind of suddenly let slip out, and one of the beat riders up in Morgantown grabbed a hold of that, and yet we still wait and wonder if at any point could he come back. Obviously, a guy like Kanate, who has such a high draft potential of ceiling, it wants to be careful with any type of knee injury, but as a Kansas fan, you have that in the back of your mind, just hoping, please don't let this be the game he comes back. Please don't let him want to come back for Kansas. But having said that, the Jayhawks took care of him pretty good the last time they saw him in Kansas City in the Big 12 tournament. But like you, Shane, it is a scary game because you know how good they are at home historically. You know how much the Kansas game means to them typically. And we will not be looking past them one bit despite the 0-5 record and some of the, you know, ways in which they've lost games. So I think it's going to be a challenge for sure on Saturday. And yet, if you could get through it, And then ride some momentum into a home rematch on Big Monday versus Iowa State. Think about how much better you feel about Kansas. And I'm putting a couple of wins together here potentially. But if you could somehow at that point be 6-1, and you'd have Ames so far in the rearview mirror at that point, having avenged the loss, having won 5 in a row, having grown up a ton in that time. I mean, just think about the turnovers, for example. We went from 24 turnovers a week and a half ago to 4 on Monday night. A lot's trending up right now for Kansas, but got to take care of the games you should win, and that includes this one on Saturday and then protecting your home court on Monday. If you do that, I think we feel pretty good about almost a full halfway through the Big 12 slate.
We'll have plenty to talk about next time we visit, so safe travels until then. We'll be listening.
See you, Brian.
Hey, thanks a lot, fellas. Appreciate you. And thanks to my friends at the Mattress Hub, Ryan Beatty and company, some of the greatest people you'll ever meet. And they've got great specials going on right now at themattresshub.com. So it's for a mattress or other bedroom accessories, check them out today. Locally owned and operated by some of Wichita's best. Really appreciate you guys.
No problem, Brian. Take care. We'll see you next Wednesday. There he goes, Brian Haney, play-by-play voice of the Kansas Jayhawks. Moved up just a tad to accommodate his schedule. We'll revisit certainly with him after a busy weekend and another big Monday for KU.
It's a weird 15-2 team, isn't it, Shane? I mean, you look at their record, and obviously we watch them every night, and the more you watch them, the more you, I don't know, do you appreciate this team, or do you appreciate the coaching that it's getting, the seasoning that it's getting, because they're finding ways to win against good teams. But I think that if you watch Kansas day in and day out, and you said, okay, throw me their record, and you hadn't been paying any attention to it, you probably wouldn't have come up with 15-2.
Not without DeSouza, nine games from Doak. Yeah, if you said that at the very beginning.
15-2.
You said that at the very beginning, you'll get Doak for 9 games and DeSouza for none.
Yeah. What would their record be?
Yeah, playing Michigan State, Tennessee, which didn't know much about Tennessee at the time, but now we know they're good. You know, and a lot of the teams that they played, absolutely. Marquette, that's looking better and better.
No kidding.
Beat Villanova in a rematch of the national championship game, and then Stanford, who's normally good, but whatever. 15-2, no shot. So,
and here they are.
I think their core, and you know what? The Lawson twins. All we'd heard was what we'd heard, or what they did at Memphis. Mm-hmm. You know, this was their maiden voyage in the Big 12, too. And LeGerald Vick, I think there was, I don't want to say question marks about him because he's a commodity, but
there were question marks. This guy wasn't even going to be a part of the program last. When we left him last spring, he was done. Mm-hmm. He and Bill Self were finished. And it was fine with Bill Self, and it seemed to be fine with LeGerald Vick. Now here they are making sweet music.
Yep.
Funny how things work out that way, but it's been very advantageous for Kansas. So it's just very interesting.
Yep.
And we still don't know what the end game with Silvio De Sousa is, do we?
Nope. Although you and I have both gone on the record saying that we don't think he's going to play all year long.
I don't think he's going to.
I'm probably not going to come off of that. And there's certainly nothing on the horizon that would suggest otherwise. Mm-hmm. Okay, what's on tap? Courtesy of Side Pockets. We're going to talk a little NFL. What does each team have to do to win their respective games this weekend? What's on tap for tomorrow? Going to scare me to death, but we're going to do it. Derek Lewis, a UFC fighter, is going to stop by the studio. He only goes 6'3", 260. So we will not only make a segment for him whenever he wants. We'll talk about whatever he wants. That's Derek Lewis, the Black Beast. He'll be in studio UFC fighter tomorrow. And then Friday, we'll talk with Chris Price from Boston Sports Journal. He'll talk a little Patriots ahead of the Patriots and Chiefs. Plus, we'll have our State Farm picks. And Mike Kennedy coming up in 30 minutes from now. So all kinds of stuff on tap. The Sports Daily continues.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.